If it had not been the Lord who was at our side, let Israel now say,
if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when foes rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive, when their anger was kindled against us.
Then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us.
Then the raging waters would have gone over us.
Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to the teeth.
We have escaped as a bird from the snare of the fowlers.
The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth.
Glory be to the Father.
Please be seated.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this on?
Yes.
Okay. For those who don't know me, my name is Kathy Coffin, and I'm the acolyte leader for the church here. And I'm starting my fourth year in this position, and I'm so honored and blessed to be working with these young adults. I would like to ask our two graduating acolytes and their parents to come forward at this time. They are Brooke Harper and Sierra Yandell. Please come forward. While they are coming forward, I would also like to mention that we have Caden and Lila Brackett filling in for us today, and I want to thank them for their participation on short notice this day. I didn't do that. Okay. Ah, I can hear myself now. Brooke and Sierra have been acolytes for 4 years. They have answered the call to serve faithfully and responsibly and have filled in as substitutes on numerous occasions. They have performed their duties with grace and respect, and they have been important disciples of Christ. When you look at them, you can see the light of Jesus in their eyes. And within their hearts, it's visible to all. Both girls are freshmen this year and are outstanding students. Brooke is attending Pittman High School, and she enjoys gymnastics, where she has been on the competitive team for 7 years. She enjoys tutoring math, and during the summer months, she helps take food and clothing to the homeless. She has a part-time job at her father's shop, where she takes pride in her work. Brooke loves cats. Sierra is attending Turlock High School, and she enjoys swimming, water polo, horseback riding, and singing. She has sung many solos during the worship service and has had many singing parts in the children's Christmas program throughout the years. Sierra is also an animal lover. The girls will be receiving certificates of appreciation for their service to the church. I also have an acolyte pin, which consists of a cross with two doves and the word acolyte written on the bottom. I also have a special gift for them because they've participated so much in the last 4 years. I found some lights. They're LED lights, and I am presenting them to them because I want them to continue to let their light shine because they are light-emitting disciples. So, thank you, girls, for your faithful service, and thank you, parents, for your support. God bless you.
Yeah.
Okay, another round.
God bless you. And amen. Would the children now come forward, please? Good morning.
Come on down, kids. That's the spirit. Okay, hi kids. You might want to come up a little closer because I have a book I'm going to share, and that way you'll be able to see the pictures really well. I know a lot of you have probably just started going back to school. I was hoping some of you were familiar with this book. For the adults, it's called The Kissing Hand, and it's about a little, what animal is in this story?
Raccoon.
Very good. Okay, so in this story, the little raccoon is a little bit nervous about doing something new and maybe going away from his mom for the first time. And mom is very wise and has a special tip for him. So the story is The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn. And we're just going to summarize and go through a few of the stories. In this picture, you can see the little raccoon. And he has a little tear in his eye because he's nervous and he's a little bit scared. You just pick this up and flip right where there's one of these. Thank you. So Mama Raccoon, being as wise as she is, tells him some good things about what's going to happen when he goes to school. He's going to meet new friends. He's going to have new toys to play with. He's going to get to climb trees and swing on the swing that they have there at school. But he's still a little nervous. So Mama tells Chester, Chester is the name of the little raccoon, "I have a secret." Who likes to hear a secret from your mom? Yeah. Or your dad, or your grandma, or your grandpa. Well, what Mama Raccoon does is she tells Chester to hold his hand out. She wants to see the palm of his hand. Can you show me the palm of your hand? And then what Mama does is she bends down and gives it a kiss. And when Mama kisses his hand, see all those hearts? He just feels love tingling all the way from the palm of his hand right up his arm and into his heart. And he feels so good. And then Mama tells him, close your fingers up around that heart, that kiss. And when you go to school, if you feel lonely, put it against your cheek and you will feel my love and you'll know that you're going to be fine and you're going to be safe. And so that's exactly what Chester did. But that evening, as he was preparing to go to his first day of school, he told Mama, "Mama, hold out your hand." What do you think Chester did? You think? He did, you're right. He gave Mama a kiss right in the middle of her hand. And he told her, "You're going to be just fine when I'm away at school, and I'll always be thinking of you." And off Chester scampered with his other nocturnal friends to go to night school. So this story made me think about when we, every day in our lives, things come up that might make us a little nervous or, you know, maybe concerned about something. But I learned a trick. So this time, hold your hand up like this, like a high five. Okay, touch your thumb. And this is Jesus will never leave you. Let's try it one more time. Jesus will never leave you. And then you close it up. So that's a promise you can count on. I want you guys to say it with me. Let's try it one more time. Hands up. All together. Jesus will never leave you. And that's a promise you can count on. All right. Let's bow our heads in prayer. God, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to have all these children around and have them learning about you and about your son that you sent for us. Your son Jesus is always with us, and he's a reminder that you're always with us as well. So we thank you for this opportunity, and through your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. Go in peace.
Nursery through kindergarten. Go to nursery first grade through eighth grade. Go served on one. And there she is.
I'm in first grade.
Oh, congratulations. You're a big guy.
Thank you.
Let us be in the attitude of prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, as your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. The scripture this morning is from Romans 12, 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith in God as assigned. For as the one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy, in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. May God's blessing be added to the reading of this holy word.
This is the word of the Lord. Let the people say, thanks be to God. Today, Paul lifts up, as he closes this epistle to the Romans, about the various ways that we are called as members of the family of God, as parts of the body of Christ, to serve each other in the Spirit of Christ. He talks about in ministry and in teaching, in generosity, in prophecy. However, at the root of the passage, there is something that we need to remember, especially today. In verse 2, if we are not hearing Paul's word in verse 2, then we are not being equipped to complete the mandate of Christ in our lives. So today I begin off with, we are called to have uncluttered lives. Clean your clutter. Amen? Michelle Passoff heard those words. She was in her early 40s. She worked in a firm doing public relations from Ivy League, working in an East Coast very well-known company. But after 20 years of this work, she was finding herself unfulfilled in her career. She began thinking in new ways outside of the box where she could achieve having a vocation as well as an avocation. She began a conversation with several hundred people. And as she had that conversation, she kept getting that same kind of word back that she heard in the beginning, which was, to her life, clean your clutter. She found out that she was not alone in this desire and need. She said, I'm serious. In all areas of their life, in all areas of your life, there is just too much clutter. Mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, she said, think about it. So after that, Michelle Passoff became a clutter consultant. And guess what? She's been incredibly successful. Can I get an amen? How many of you in your lives feel that you're just a little bit cluttered these days? I didn't expect a rousing amen, but a little honesty in church. The 21st century and all of its busyness, we do tend to find in the incredible pace that we're keeping. Matter of fact, even some retired people were saying, I don't know how I had time to work before I retired. Amen? And so she has done very well. Matter of fact, her book, which said, I think it was, let me get this, Lighten Up, Free Yourself from Clutter. And she's been doing great. Her business has succeeded. Her books have succeeded. And it's been important for those who have feeling overcome by the physical clutter in their lives to become clutter-free. Well, today, God is also calling us to our work and service of Christ Jesus as His body. And it is not a duty. It is not a chore. It is a privilege to be inspired by the Holy Spirit of God and serve. But to do so, then we must hear verse 2 at the root of the passage. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God for you, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The apostle's advice then is to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed by discovering what the Lord God is calling you to do. So first of all, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds so that you may discern what is the will of God for you. What is good? What is good? Sometimes in this day and age, I think doing good is being somewhat overlooked and dismissed. When Jesus, by the disciples or other followers, when they tried to call him good, Jesus says, no, what is good? And he pointed to the Creator God of all the universe, and that is who and what is ultimately good. But yet in our own lives, at times, there's a pejorative use of the term good. I don't know where this comes from, but how many of you have been referred at times to being goody two-shoes? I didn't think I'd see any hands. I knew it. But I certainly know some of you have been called that. It's okay to pursue what is good. I was reading in a blog, and this story is both true and factual. The writer is Larry Phillips, Christian man, after church on Sunday, taking his three children out for kind of that, you know, late lunch, early dinner, brunch type thing. They went to a family restaurant, and the youngest of the three children was a boy who was that age of not quite six, five, not quite six. So when it came time to say grace, it was the boy's turn, and the family had the practice of saying grace whether they were out at a restaurant or not. So the little boy, father nodded, he started grace. He says, God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. And God, I'd even be more thankful if Daddy got us some ice cream for dessert. And so with that, just like what happened to us, you know, it was very busy that time of day, and people chuckled all the way around that were within hearing, except for one woman seated in a booth nearby with her husband, and she blurted out, that's what's wrong with this world today. Children don't even know how to pray. Praying for ice cream. Why, I never. With that, tears, literally tears, burst out from the eyes of this little boy. And he said to his daddy, Daddy, did I do wrong? Did I make God mad? And Larry, the father, consoled his son that his prayer was okay. But at that moment, an elderly man who had heard this going on came walking over and winking at the boy said, Son, I happen to know that God thought that prayer was just great. And the little boy stopped crying immediately and said, Really? And the man says, You know, and then he did a theatrical whisper because he wanted the lady in the booth to hear everything he said. Amen. He said, In fact, it's good to ask God for ice cream once in a while. Sometimes ice cream is good for the soul. Your prayer was just fine. So Larry wrote that at the end of their meal, of course, the kids got ice cream sundaes, right? But he said, what happened with my little boy, I'll never forget. The waitress sat down these three big sundaes. And my little boy picked up his spoon and looked at the sundae kind of perplexed. And he picked it up, walked it over to the lady in the booth. And he says, Here, ma'am, sometimes ice cream is good for the soul. And set it down. And then he said, And you can have it because my soul is good already. And he was doing it sincerely, right? Because he wanted her soul to also be blessed and be better. For those who have wisdom to hear, listen up. Secondly, Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the will of God for you, what is acceptable. Now, this is a hard translation, the word here for acceptable in Greek. It means also to include, to receive. So in terms of what we call acceptable, and the way we use it in modern English would not fit what Paul's trying to say in Romans. What that verb means is that it is to include and receive and graciously accept. The Alexian brothers have had a long history. They've been around since the Middle Ages. They were primarily a lay organization that as late as just 20 or 30 years ago when we had an outbreak of AIDS, they formed one of the absolute first hospices and homes, even before we understood how the disease was transmitted, and these lay brothers and also now sisters served those persons in their time of dire need. But this is nothing new for the Alexians. Clear back in about the 13th century, when the Black Plague was raging through Europe, members of this medical tradition, medieval tradition, medical religious order, when that plague came, and anybody who had the means, these were many times, they were walled cities. And as the Black Plague would come through, any who had the means would get out of town. Amen? But these Alexians would stay, primarily, as I said, not ordained monks, laity, and would care for those persons in their suffering. And at that time, they didn't realize the plague was communicable by rats and fleas. And yet they stayed. And in fact, that's when they first were noticed by the larger church, and they were given this name, I love it, the Parabolani. Isn't that a great sounding word? Parabolani. What that translates is as the reckless ones. You hear that? And today we say someone's reckless, and that's not a good thing. In that time, these were the reckless ones in grace, the Parabolani, that even put themselves at risk to be able to include, to receive, to care. And that remains our call today, to be reckless with grace. And third today, Paul says, again, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God for you, what is perfect. Here we are again in a Greek word that's hard to translate. When Paul says what is perfect, a telos, it also can mean complete, whole. Not the way that we often frame perfect today in our time. Often today in our time, when we call something perfect, we consider it to be without flaw. Now, any of us in attempting to follow the mandate of Christ, who's trying to be perfect and without flaw, is always going to fail. Can I get an amen? We are imperfect creatures, but we are able to succeed not by our own perfection, but by the perfection of the Spirit of God that breathes within our lives. In fact, we all need to be a little more error tolerant as we go through our lives. During the middle part of the 20th century and towards its end, while they were developing the computers, the things that so much energize or at the base of so much that we do today, there was a problem, though. In the middle to the late middle part of the 20th century, as they were designing the computer, they were trying to design the computer to be perfect, so that it would, in fact, not have error. But the problem with that is the computers kept crashing. They were not error tolerant. They were trying to make them perfect, and they would continue to crash. And Antonin Savvaty came along, and one other person, and his name was Algirdas Avizienzas. And what these two people discovered, especially Savvaty, it's a notion we should all know, nothing is perfect on this earth. Nothing. So in trying to program the computer to be without error, would never work. So they started doing the software design on the computer that it became error tolerant. And in it is the roots of what we enjoy today. Every time, you know, when you're going through a routine on your computer and it discerns something is wrong, It fixes itself. Amen? Also with us, what Paul is trying to suggest, and what Wesley said to us, Christian perfection is not a state of mind. Christian perfection is the longing endeavor to be in communion with the love of God through the Spirit of Christ. It's not a state of being. It's a longing process. So today I close when the apostle's advice then is to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Be transformed by discovering what the Lord God is calling you to do. Thus ends the message. Thanks be to God. And now I invite you to receive the dismissal and the blessing. I send you forth as the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom he now still lives and breathes on the face of this good earth. And may the blessings of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you always. And the people said, Amen. God bless you all. Go in peace.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of the First United Methodist Church in Turlock, California. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, share-alike license. For more information about our church, visit www.fumcturlock.org or call the church at 209-668-3000. Visitors are always welcome. And now, may the peace of the Lord dwell in your hearts this day, and may God bless you.